Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
I feel like the term almost is really underutilized in the First Amendment. Like, almost should be in almost every other sentence.
But that's not strong enough. It's not concrete.
I mean, it's got to
be exact.
I mean, it's definitely not strong enough, but at the same time, I think it's more realistic. It would be paint the Constitution or the First Amendment in a much more realistic light.
It would.
Than what they have done now. I mean, because obviously you said what you said. What you said was the First Amendment verbatim. But at the same time, everyone here and probably everyone listening knows that it didn't really work out quite that neatly. And there's some pretty good reasons for that. Or there could be, or some people might disagree. But at the same time, like, I would definitely disagree, mostly because we have this little thing called hate speech.
Oh, I love that hate speech. Wait, that, no. I hate that hate speech.
Can't get your words right today, Cody.
Well, no, I'm just trying to talk the good politics and whatnot.
And just in case anyone's forgot, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Cody.
And you're listening to Jambalaya. Matt, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Matt. I just met you today.
You are unusually chipper today.
Oh, yeah, man. I ate some Chips Ahoy and some potato chippers.
Oh, just so that's on the nose. Just yeah. So everything just completely
chips
on the nose.
Sound like chipper. And ahoy. Ahoy, chips. Yay.
Okay, so.
And back to the amazing.
So I obviously understand why that there are no explicit rules for hate speech in society. Mostly, like, the number one is just, like, no one's really sure what hate speech is or, like, how you can characterize it. But that really seems like kind of, it seems like when people think that way, they just automatically just kind of throw it underneath the rug. They just basically have this mentality to where it's like, oh, we can't think of any good way to conceptualize this, so we're just not going to think about it, and we're just going to kick the can down the line and let other people deal with it, or just let other generations deal with the same shit every single day. But even that is a little bit of a cop-out, mostly because we have entire organizations in our society that we've just written off. Like, those organizations can still say what they want to say, but we culturally and as a society have for the most part just kicked them to the side. And I think, like, I don't think I need to, you know, mention the names, but, you know, those ethnocentric groups.
But if they're true,
blood and soil, blood and soil.
I feel a front coming on, almost like a storm. I'll not finish that one. We don't need to name names. No, I feel like, though, that you could say that freedom of speech is working is if they have no cultural credit or sway, because they're mostly ignored, because they're, like, universally seen as not a worthy group of actually, like, listening to or following.
You could say that, but at the same time, like, I gotta push back on it. I mean, because my fear isn't that people are gonna hear individuals that are part of these groups speak and say their ideas, and then suddenly, like, they just become radicalized. Like, I don't think that John Smith, who just happens to walk by a table with a white supremacist behind it, and he's got a big sign up that says, "White people are better than everyone else. Change my mind." I don't think that's gonna happen.
I do want to see that video now of a certain somebody going on a campus.
I don't think
free ghost costume.
The hoods are a little pointier.
That just, you should all watch Django Unchained for that one scene. My wife made this.
I love that movie.
It's great. Can't see shit.
It doesn't matter if you can see, just as long as the fucking horse sees. All right. Anyway, I don't think individuals are, like, gonna be radicalized that way. But my primordial fear, the fear that's just inside me, is that people in, well, not even just individuals in those organizations, like the organizations themselves have become so pernicious in the way they do, in the way they carry out their agendas, that they do it in a way that's almost, well, that is like civil, but you hear what they say and the things that they think, and you have to really be paying attention to them in order to just like be alarmed. Like, I'll give you an example from my personal life. So when I was doing graduate work,
sure,
I came upon this journal, this quote unquote academic journal called Occidental Quarterly. And I think the article that I was, the topic that I was looking at, it had something to do with race. And I think the topic of the article that I read from Occidental Quarterly, God, I cannot believe.
What does Occidental mean?
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I don't know what that word means.
Isn't that a college?
I think it is a college. But anyway, you're making me miss my point. The point is, something, I was trying to research in something regarding race, found this article from Occidental Quarterly, and come to find out, like, as I was going through, like, the article, reading through the abstract and discussions and all that other shit, I was just, in my head, I was thinking, like, this shit reads really racist, or am I just being way too sensitive about it? So I just kept reading through, and I was just like, no, this shit is definitely racist and was written by a racist. So just to make sure that it wasn't just me and I wasn't just being overly sensitive to it, I just did like a quick little search on like the journal, Occidental Quarterly. And it turns out, like, this is just based on a quick Wikipedia search. It was just like, yes, Occidental Quarterly, a journal that is routinely used or populated by white supremacists and their research. And I was just like, what? Has it gotten to this point to where they have an entire branch? Like, they have a research branch that they can use to, I don't want to say the word validate, but at the same time, like, that's kind of what they're trying to do. Like, they're trying to validate their beliefs with quote-unquote facts. But the scary part about that is that if you look at more mainstream academics, or definitely more mainstream academics, or more legitimate and accepted people, like Charles Murray. Charles Murray gets a bunch of shit because he... Do you know who Charles Murray is?
No.
All right, Charles Murray gets a bunch of shit because he wrote... Because he wrote on race and IQ in a book called The Bell Curve.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, and basically... Well, it was implied that, oh, yeah, black people... like on average have lower IQs than white people, and that's kind of what they said, and he caught a bunch of shit for that. I mean, depending on who you ask, rightfully so or not rightfully so, I'm kind of in the middle. But anyway, that was actual legitimate research that pretty much supported what Charles Murray said. Now carry that over to the white supremacist people on Occidental Quarterly, and they now have like a legitimate base to build their agenda off of, or their quote-unquote research off of. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no. If you have a thing that has a reputation or it sounds like a legitimate journal, then you can have a conclusion that's like something that's probably overtly racist or falls along the agenda of white supremacy. And then if people don't know, if it's not publicly known that it's associated with a ideology, then people just quote it like it's a legitimate study.
Mm.
I mean, the thing, though, I would ask is, and then I would assume it's wherever they come from, it would go also to the studies and the methods and the validity of it. If it is ideology and then it starts with a conclusion and then studies to get to that conclusion,
mm-hmm.
then that's backwards. And that sounds like that's what they would do if it's ideology first.
Mm.
And I think, like, I would say that if it's a bunch of people that are in a institution and then they have studies, but the studies are bad, then that's fine, because then people wouldn't pay attention to those studies, because it'd be the thing they know it's junk science, so they just don't need to pay attention to it. But that's probably not how it works, because it has the, or whatever the name of the place is, if you just read it, it's like you're just quoting a regular college.
Exactly.
What you think it is.
And that's what's so, like, really scary about it, is because, like, me... like, obviously I'm a black person, and so, like, I'm automatically sensitive to this, which was something, like, I was aware of while I was reading it. And so I just, like I said before, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being overly sensitive to it, and found out that, no, this was actually produced by, you know, people who are probably racist. Now, if it almost fooled me, like, I just try and put myself into someone else's shoes who doesn't have, like, my kind of experience or doesn't have my sensitivities to, like, this certain thing. Like, how easy would it be to kind of bring them in and fold them into this, especially when they have other facts to support? Well, I'll put it like this. Do I think Charles Murray is a racist? I don't know. But do I think that the research he has done is absolutely used by racists to promote their agenda? Absolutely. So you have that, this little thing that they can base their belief system off of and then fold it into whatever kind of bullshit research they want to do. You have, like, the combination of those things is just... It can just lead to terror. It just leads to horror.
Well, yeah, it's like it's a start of legitimacy. It's like a way for them to be like, we're not this. No, we're a scientific institution. Because it's like you're saying, it's too overt for somebody to hold up a sign that says, white people are best. Come here and let us tell you why. Or like free ghost outfits. Like, that's not because it's too obvious, but it's the thing. If you can make it seem like you're not part of that, but then you're presenting something else that still comes to the same conclusion, then you can try to get away with it.
Now, based on what we just said, just think about my point about the racist, quote-unquote, academic journal, Occidental Quarterly, and then just think about how we characterize freedom of speech in this country, just, like, based on what you just read. Do you think that that kind of speech should be allowed? Like, should there be some kind of... I mean, I guess you could say there is a punishment for it now, like, but it's more of a social punishment. But do you think that that kind of speech has a place in society to where, like, it could easily help harmful elements within our culture and society? It could help, I don't know, galvanize them into... just, I don't know, even becoming more radical in their beliefs, or just, like, more staunch in their beliefs. Just,
well, I mean, like, somebody being more staunch, I think if it's research, that's somebody trying to find something to cement their beliefs. It'd be like an inkling they already have, and then they reach for a study to quote, and all of a sudden they have this that, like, fits with what they already believe, and then they can hold on to it and have it be cemented in their brains. But I feel like the problem with that is I can't think of a legitimate reason or what good it is to have that journal. Because, like, clearly if it's bad science, it's only contributing to terror or beliefs that harm society, then it's not good. But the freedom of speech there's equality in freedom of speech in that it's everyone's. Like, even if it's bad, you can't take away theirs and then have the good people have theirs, because there's no... Everybody is equal in the eyes of the Constitution and law. See,
this is what everybody says, and I just always have to disagree. I mean, one, just the point that I made earlier, these people belong to a group that we've just written off completely. Like, everybody, like, just go down the street, and hopefully they believe it. Like, I'm just going to say, for instance, this is an ideal world where if you walk down the street, no matter who that person is, unless they are an active white supremacists, they will be like, no, fuck those guys, I hate them, we should just kick them out. But at the same time, when you bring up the topic, well, if you ask them the same question, well, do you think their freedom of speech should be limited? I think it'll be, like, more controversial. People just be like, well, they've got their rights too. We should just keep them around.
But you can't just kick anybody out. You can't, like, even if they didn't have freedom of speech, you can't just kick them out. You can't have
some... Why, though? Well, why can't you?
Because you just, I mean, that's not something you can do in the United States.
But see, that's always the answer. You deport
a citizen?
That's always the answer, man.
I mean, that's my
It's just
answer.
Like, oh, we just can't because they said we can't, and that's why. Who's they? The guys.
They're still alive.
Who are the guys?
The ghost of the founding fathers whisper to our ears every morning and night.
I mean, like, what do you think should happen? Do you think, like, some G-men should come in and throw a bag over the racist's head and take him out.
You're already wearing a hood. You just turn it slightly.
I mean, like, legitimately, how do you think that would go about, like, the government taking a step in hate speech?
Now, okay, so first of all, I think it, well, full disclosure, I have no problem with what you just said happening to all those people. And that goes, and I'm not even just saying white supremacists. Like, if you are an ethnocentric person who is, like, militantly pursuing goals that are clearly
a genocide of some sort,
a genocide that are clearly to the benefit of just like one group of people, I would be all about that happening to you, because
absolutely, if you're advocating genocide, definitely. I don't know if you're somebody who's like, I don't know, I lock my doors when a black person passes my car. I don't know if you should be, you know, disappeared in the middle of the night.
I was going to say black bagged and thrown into the trunk. Take a visit to Abu Ghraib.
I mean, you're a bad person, but maybe we'll just say you're a bad person on Facebook.
We'll just
publicly shame you.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what shaming is. Yeah. And actually, there's the inverse of shaming, is if somebody does something that's deemed as bad, then everybody shames them, but there's no moderation to it, or like, nuance. It's just everybody piling on.
Yeah, I still can't get down with this. Mostly. Okay, so I'm just gonna throw this out there. People have this idea that, okay, if we just publicly shame people, then, or if we just publicly shame groups like this, then that's enough. Like, that's gonna solve the problem.
It's not gonna make them disappear.
No, it's not gonna make them disappear. But at the same time, they still exist. And they can still, like, pursue their agendas and build on that. Now, the point I'm trying to get to, well, I'll just exemplify on this point. David Duke was a Louisiana state representative, like a legit Louisiana state representative, until 1992. He was just, yeah, it's true that he's just one guy. He's just one racist dude with a group of beliefs. But at the same time, this guy had enough support to make it into the political system and gain a political office and shape policy to, in a way that was more reflective of his ideas.
Which was the formal head of the Ku Klux Klan that did commit hate crimes and violent acts.
How outward was he?
I don't think he was. Okay, so I don't think he was just like, when he was in the office, I don't think he was just like super out, I'm a racist, but at the same time, everybody knew who the fuck David Duke was. Like, they knew what this guy was about, and he still was elected.
I think all I have to say to that is, maybe blame the voters.
That is a default. Like, just blame the voters.
But you get rid of all those voters that voted for him?
I don't know, but at the same time, okay, so that was a good question, man.
I mean, if somebody is just, like, outward with it, who's the actual crazy person?
That is true. But here's the thing. Okay, so that was a good point you just made. Just, like, how out was he with his white supremacy? Okay, I don't think, like, as he was running, he was that outwardly white supremacist. I mean, because remember, David Duke, his brand of racism was, I guess, the more attractive form. Like, it was like the more palatable form of racism. Like, it wasn't just like, out, I hate you, colored and blacks and shit. Like, it definitely wasn't the Bull Connor style of racism. It was just like a more, like I said, palatable form. So he wasn't like just
sort of your mom and pop white people are better.
Well, it's just there's some studies from the Ornithology University of so-and-so. I'm just quoting science.
But that,
like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, he was able to tailor, even though everybody knew who David Duke was, he was just able to tailor his platform and his message to, I guess, better fit or be more attractive to people. Whoever was listening.
Yeah.
But the point is, he was able to shape his beliefs. He was able to make his beliefs, like, more approachable to people. And that's the scary part. Like, that's the whole point that I'm trying to make. Is that this guy, if there were like some kind of, I don't know, written in law, if there was some kind of legislation just like, hey, you can't say this about these people or these kind of groups, that could have stopped him. But no, like, that could have stopped him very early on.
He would just say it in a different way then.
I was going to say, like, that is the other side of it. He could just say it in a different way, like he did.
Which, yeah, that was the whole thing in the first place, is he couldn't be outwardly racist, so they gotta say it in a different way, put issues, and then, like, hide the racism under some issues.
But he started in a group that was allowed him to be super out.
I know. That's the worst part of it. It's like, even, right, if you're like, well, now he's just a regular politician that does stuff that serves mostly his constituency. But it's like, well, he did that before, and also committed crimes.
Did David Duke commit crimes?
I don't know if David Duke did, but, like, Ku Klux Klan.
I mean, if you're asking me, yeah, like, David Duke committed all the crimes. Whatever it takes, just even
really
if it's true or not.
Duked
just,
it up in there.
Just get him. Well, I don't think he's much of a threat now. Well, knock on wood.
I mean, if he ran for office.
No, I don't think he'd make it very far in office.
Well, is he still, like, a racist person?
Yeah, he's still a racist person. He definitely wouldn't say that he's racist. He would just say that, well, I just think that the Caucasian race is vastly superior to other races.
I feel like those...
He's closer to Richard Spencer now. And if you listen to Richard Spencer, like, all his stuff sounds pretty racist. It's just that he doesn't use any of the, I guess, terms that we associate with, like, how a racist person would speak or act.
But then that would be a line to where if somebody just goes, I think white people are better. Like, yeah, it's pretty abhorrent. But at the same time, I don't think you could send somebody to jail for that. Because, I mean, it's still speech. And it's him saying what he thinks. You can't make him not think that way. That's just how he thinks.
Well, I'm not trying to make him not think that way. I'm just trying to make him less of a threat to, like, overall society. Like, I don't care. He can think whatever the fuck he wants. I just want him removed.
Yeah, but then there's still the voters that think like he does. I mean, that's the other side of it.
Get rid of them, too.
Can't.
All of them. We'll march them through the streets.
Then... There'd be a lot of people in Louisiana in 92 that would just disappear.
Embolaya.
Oh, yeah.
That
a traditional...
We're all from Louisiana.
Louisiana cuisine, jambalaya. Oh, that does a lot. Oh, that's a nice grab.
Matt. He was smiling right before he said it. He was like, step closer jambalaya. To the microphone. The jambalaya. I don't know. So what if there is hate speech, then what? You have to define what hate speech is.
Yeah, that is always the problem. Because, like, even though I said what I just said, I'm very aware that it's hard to define hate speech. Because I definitely wouldn't want it to ever become... Because, like, if there... Like, let's just say something happened tomorrow to where, like, all of Congress and the House of Representatives are just like, all right, no more hate speech. It's an amendment now. Is everybody happy? And everyone would be happy for, like, you know, maybe 15 minutes. I say 15 minutes because somebody would say something racist. Or somebody would say something, not even racist, but just kind of, like,
cringeworthy.
Mildly cringeworthy and offensive on Twitter or something. And then they would have, like, 15 people trying to say, you just broke the law! That's hate speech!
No, I didn't. I was pretending to be another character.
Exactly. So there's all like I definitely don't want that to happen. So before it becomes like any kind of a law or anything or an amendment, then it definitely has to be more what's the word I'm looking for?
Concrete.
It has to have to be more fleshed out. That's like what there has to be a very solid definition for what hate speech is.
I feel like the issue is, and it's terribly unspecific, which is why it's really hard to make a law like that. Is that the way that stuff that's not accepted in society works is people don't say that stuff, but then they figure out all the little cracks and the way around the laws that say that you can't do something, and then they just find a different way to do it with that's a little bit less. So it turns into, like, the best law would be, like, if you say something that's discriminatory toward a minority or expresses an ethnocentric ideologue or view, then that's hate speech. But that would be more effective to say that you can't say this word and you can't say this word because you can argue about the context of the word versus just outright saying where everybody goes, nah, shit, that was racist.
Like, this is gonna be a terrible idea, but I'm gonna say it anyway because it's funny. I think Urban Dictionary would help us a lot here. Like, anytime, like if what you just said happens, if like they just outlaw like certain words, and then the natural reaction is that like people just come up with all these other like corollary words. Or periphery words that mean basically the same thing, that kind of, well, that signal the same thing, then you just go to Urban Dictionary and someone adds those words in, and anytime a word in Urban Dictionary, make a whole new category, racist periphery racist terms.
Is it a racist database?
Just racist terms. I think there's already a database like that, but anyway.
There's probably a wiki racist.
But anyway, Urban Dictionary has a whole new category that says periphery racist terms. And anytime someone uses a word or a word gets added to that and you get caught using those words, then your ass gets nailed to the wall.
That would be pretty effective. It would supercharge the slang economy if they ever passed a law like that.
It's crazy, but I like that idea. It's open source. Like, people can just add things for better or worse.
It just makes me think of torrents and, like, movies and TV shows where you find like a stream of something that you want to watch that you may or may not have to buy, but then you like click on one link, you're like, oh, that one's broken now, and you're like, okay, I'll go to another one. Oh, this one's broken. Oh, I got another one. This one's broken. Oh, they took this website down. Oh, fifth website, I found the thing I was trying to steal.
But also, in like going back to the point of like how do we define hate speech, that is obviously a complicated question, one that we probably won't be answering here today. But I feel like one step in the direction of how you characterize hate speech is that, all right, if you at any point belong to a group that is like an actual hate group, I feel like it's kind of safe to say that if you say anything in reference to those groups, or I'm just gonna continue to, if you say anything like in reference to those groups, then there can be a high probability that what you're saying about those groups is probably hate speech. I know that doesn't
like
sound
fair,
but
for the groups.
Well, no. Like, let's just say.
But we already, like, we didn't say the word, but I said Stormfront about, but that's talking about a hate group.
Yeah.
So under that rule, it'd be hate speech.
Okay, no, not, you don't, no, that's not what I was trying to say. All right, so let's just say you, Cody, yes, were a member of Stormfront.
Or hypothetically.
Hypothetically. But also, Cody's a member of Stormfront.
I have a black friend and I'm talking to him right now.
I don't think that helped your case at all.
Damn it.
Oh, okay, not so. Let's just say Europa Identity or some shit like
whichever.
That. Let's just say you were a part of one of those groups at one time. And let's just say you become kind of a figure for those groups. Like, you never actually leave the group, but you become a figure for those groups and you start speaking on behalf of those groups. I would say that anytime you speak on behalf of those groups and those groups are still recognized as a hate, like a group that, like a hate group, then what you're saying is like the totality of everything you say is hate speech. Like, in that specific context, if you're representing that group and you're speaking on behalf of that group, what you're doing, like what you're saying, can be quantified as hate speech.
I think that makes sense, and this probably drags another issue into it and more complications. But if you treat it like terrorist groups, to where if you define a group based on their policies and their mission that includes actual violence and harm, which some do. I mean, like, it's hate groups. It's kind of partly how you define them, is that they commit crimes as a group to further ideology. So, like, in that case,
I wouldn't say they commit crime. I mean, obviously, I would like it. I would define them as committing crimes because that would just be one more way to get these people thrown up and out of society. But I wouldn't say they commit crimes.
Well,
they,
that would be my definition,
things,
is if they do. Matt, or
were you gonna say something?
Aren't there like a lot of Irish people who are like sympathetic to the IRA?
I would imagine so.
Maybe.
Like, I don't think they're gonna be like outwardly saying like, oh yeah, I got the bumper sticker.
IRA didn't care a shit about
I was
America.
In the, I love the IRA.
They're my favorite band. They don't use that.
Like, does the IRA count as a hate group? I mean, they're probably...
I mean, they count as a terrorist group.
I mean, they... Absolutely. Because they committed violence and bombings and stuff, so yeah, by that that's definition. True. But they have a reason. Like, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. So it's like...
Shut up, Cody.
No, IRA would say they wanted the
get
independence
out of, here with
of,
that.
Of Ireland.
That's true.
So it's like...
As
that
ISIS
was,
would say...
Oh, yeah, ISIS would say we want everything to be ISIS. IRA would be like, we just want our island to be Ireland.
Man, they just,
the infidels.
Man, the ISIS, they, all they want is just to establish the Islamic caliphate again and...
To be fine for everybody.
That's all they want, man.
That's it, man.
Let's all they up. Want is one deity, Ra.
What? He was really handsome in that one movie.
Gods of Egypt?
No, oh, I was thinking the Mummy. I thought he was the Mummy.
He was also very handsome in Gods of
oh,
Egypt.
Oh, I would assume so.
Wait, was he in that movie? I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. Who knows? No, but I would say to me that the hate speech or the group that you can't talk for, advocate for, would have to fall in the line of they are directly linked to violence or they advocate violence in some way.
Okay, so I don't think they have to be directly... Okay, so how are we... defining violence, I guess. I mean yeah, like there's actual like I'm gonna punch you in the fucking face and murder your family. Yeah, that's obviously violence.
Or I will pay for your legal fees if you punch somebody for me.
Oh yeah.
I'll define that as directly linked to violence too.
For waggedish blackety do, that's our president.
Well, and then he made guy. Somebody made fun of somebody in a wheelchair.
Fuck that guy. Just fuck that guy. But okay, back
I know
to what
you didn't
answer.
Mean it in this way, but how do you define violence? That sounds like somebody who's like wearing a wife beater and
what
drinking
is the
a
definition
bush.
Of is? What is?
I mean, what is violence really? She got out of hand, man.
God, no. I
call it
this.
A correction.
I feel like a terrible person just laughing at this.
I guess I was
how do we
too.
I like the default for someone who engages in violence upon their spouse.
It's always a southern accent.
It's a southern accent.
And it's and you know what? I was going to use the southern accent.
We recorded
accent
this in Louisiana.
It is like, man, you're infringing on my rights of free speech, you fuck.
How
like,
do we
nah,
define
dude.
Violence?
No, I can say that you're an asshole on Facebook because I'm not the government.
I'm an artist and I express my art via my fist into other people's faces.
I got free speech, man. You can't say shit to me.
Also, yeah, the people like that. I mean, that's what we've been... That's like the person you just imitated. That's exactly the kind of person that like I wanted this episode to be geared towards.
They
like
don't
aiming
quite
at that
understand
person.
What the First Amendment is. They've heard that before, and they're like, "Yeah, man, you know, one of those amendments about speech, and I have it."
What exactly is violence?
But yeah, they're not really aware that it's like on the government level. It's like they just think that like that means that they can say anything that they want without consequence. And yeah, I mean they can't, without the government coming and, you know, doing
yeah.
anything. But if they get punched, it's not like
right?
I got free speech. You can't punch me. Like, yeah, I can.
I have free fists. I think
I mean, I might get arrested.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Probably not.
Assault.
Well, so there's also real. There's like the fighting words I don't know the word, but there's like some places.
No,
that
that's
think,
it.
Yeah, fighting words. So if somebody is like says something enough, it's a valid response to
the
punch
aggressor.
Somebody.
Or yeah, like
it might be state to state because I know it's like every bar fight somebody would say that. Be like, well, he said some shit, so I punched him in his fucking face. Just be like, no, man, he just said hello and you punched him in the nose.
All right.
So back to the point about violence and just kind of characterizing what violence is. All right, there is. Obviously, the more like traditional form of violence, where it's what you just said, just like beating the shit out of someone. But at the same time, you can also, I mean, violence could be just, I don't know, a less physical form, or just like a not physical form, just being abusive verbally or something like that. Well, that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. I think, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, your point was that, all right, correct me if this was, like, if this is an accurate summation of your point, but, like, if those groups, like, those hate groups, like, they should only be held accountable for their actions if those actions include violent behavior.
Yes.
Is that violent behavior? All right, so violent behavior in that case.
Or restricting anybody else's rights, it's a crime.
Okay, or...
just that to be violent.
Okay, so in that context, I would say that they're... okay, I'm going to conflate violence and harm for just like a quick second, and I think that's a fair conflation. All right, so if we're judging it based on harm, like what these people are saying about other people and other groups, I would always say that anything that they have to say about the groups that they are going against is inherently harmful. Like, the groups themselves are inherently harmful and represent a threat to whatever group that they are trying to degrade or get rid of. And so, if you look at it from that perspective, I think that the grounds for them to have their, or at least their rights, the freedom of speech rights stripped away, is I think that justifies having their rights stripped away, because they represent a harm to not only the people that they're trying to go against, but also it's just kind of corrosive to the fabric of society.
I mean, that makes sense. And then the question for me becomes, who decides that?
I do.
No. That's not an answer.
I am the law.
Judge decides. That comic reference.
I'm going to be honest.
Jury and executioner. Like, I saw that blog, you have to die.
Like, finish that point, and then I'm going to continue up on the Judge Dredd point.
No, just, you have to find somebody to decide that, and then somebody that everybody agrees on, and it's going to be impartial.
I was going to say, and that's where defining hate speech comes in. Like,
that sounds impossible to me.
Does it?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to make my point. Wait. I'm going to make my point about Judge Dredd, and then you can continue your point. I fucking loved Judge Dredd and everything he did. I always got tons of shit from people saying, like, oh, man, he's just a goddamn fascist imposing his will on people. Hey, all right, so are, like, 70% of the other superheroes. You're like, what's different? At least this guy... Okay, so in Judge Dredd's case, the character is designed just like, he has a, basically, an encyclopedic knowledge of the law. Like, he knows, like, what's supposed to happen. He knows the consequences of everything supposed to be happening. And he's unbiased. Like, obviously, you can have that in the real world because most people aren't going to have, like, that kind of knowledge of the law. And most people just aren't going to be, obviously, aren't going to be Judge Dredd. But the idea that there could be a person as impartial as him who just kind of delivers violence onto people who, you know, I mean, I'm going to say they actually deserve it. In most of the cases, because they didn't follow the law. He knows the law, and he knows the consequences. Love Judge Dredd.
But if it's so much...
Loved Judge Dredd.
But there are laws where if you violate someone's rights, I mean, it's not speech, but if you violate other people's rights in other ways, then you break the law.
Mm.
Like, we have laws to where if you say something that's not good, okay, you've offended people. But if you do something that violate somebody's rights, then you broke the law. So you can judge them. You're just not doing the part to where you send them in jail for the thought crime or speaking the thing.
I'm just going to roll all this back up to the David Duke achieving political office example. Ugh. All right, so...
That's unfair.
I understand what you just said, and here is my response to it. One, I will always, like, those groups represent a inherent threat to society, specifically the groups of people that they like have an issue with.
Yes.
Two, those groups exist in a democratic society. A democratic society that, like, on its face guarantees that everybody has a chance at, you know, achieving some kind of, you know, representation. Or if not, like, individuals can achieve some kind of office themselves. Three, those people, I don't even know how to say this, but I'm just going to say it this way. they can make very convincing arguments. Like, they just can make very convincing arguments. I mean, because if you just look at the statistics and, like, very real statistics, like the Bureau of, I'll just say FBI statistics. Let's just say you do have that white supremacist group, and they use the data from the FBI. You have a very ideological group with a clear agenda that's against one group, using the data from an institution that has supposedly no sides whatsoever. That gives them more legitimacy. And when you have like a statistical figure that says, oh, 54% of crime is committed, or 54% of homicides are committed by black people, you've now given that, like, that statistic is like, you know, it is what it is, as factual as it is. You've given that group, you've extended their platform to where they can use, incorporate this into their rhetoric, and it's a fact. Like, they can use it that way, and they can use that fact to attract more people who probably aren't like that racist. They're just people who like, oh yeah, I want to be safe. Black people are committing crimes. Okay, I'm on you guys' side. I mean, I agree with everything you say, but I agree that I want to be safe. Then that is that. You've got my vote. So take that situation and you multiply by like 1,000. Suddenly these people have like this tremendous political following that's really not unlike something like that happened to Trump. Like, you just had this crazy guy who just had this huge groundswell of support that just like seemingly came out of nowhere. But anyway, you have this group, this racist white supremacist or just ethnocentric group that has this groundswell of support because all these things have just, they've just managed to put all these things together. And suddenly, Richard Spencer becomes the state representative for Colorado, where the fuck that guy lives. Yeah. And that guy has political power now.
I think that is how you have to weigh it. And, like, it's a good reference to put it in, is if you say, okay, it's the First Amendment, so it's a constitutional right. But it's also a constitutional right. It's probably a higher one for equality for everybody. And if because of the First Amendment right that there's less equality, which is the cornerstone of the democracy, then that's a larger problem than having to go over the First Amendment. So in terms of like preserving, following the rules and how the government of the United States is set up and how our society is set up, then at some point, yeah, you have to make some concessions for the overall hierarchy of how our society is supposed to be set up. Otherwise, it's not the United States anymore.
Was that you just roundabout way agreeing with me?
I was compromising.
Yep. I think, like, between people being inherently racist and people being lack of a better word, morons, who are just swayed by...
Not quite sure you softballed it in there.
Kind of lined up slow, and then you came in on a hard thrust.
Morons.
Who are just, like, swayed by some dude who talks. Like, I mean, where do you sit on that? You know? Is it... I feel like it has to be one or the other.
Okay, so... I will say this, like, I don't think, just going back to my other example, to where...
Baskets of deplorables.
FBI, like, has a statistic saying, like, this one group of people is responsible for a lot of crime in America. If you're a person and, like, one of your, I guess, issues to vote on, one of the issues that drives you to the polls is being safe... Then, and you see this guy that says, like, oh, I can keep you safe. Let's just get rid of all the black people. Although you may not agree with, like, getting rid of all the black people, you still just want to be safe. I can't call you a moron for wanting to be safe. Like, I can't do that. I mean, obviously, if it plays out the way it does, like, I'm obviously a black person, the black dude. If this guy gets elected, it's obviously not going to help me because he's a white supremacist. Yeah, he'll just get rid of all the black people. So, but I can't call you a moron for wanting to keep yourself safe.
It's the easy solution.
I mean, I would hope that, I mean, my, like, solution to that, And the solution that I wish other people would do is that, all right, if this guy, if that happens, like if your issue is like you just want to be safe and someone presents you with this very fact, if, with this statistic saying this specific group is responsible for a lot of the crime in America, I would hope that you would just not look at that statistic nakedly. Like, anybody can look at a number on a piece of paper. I would hope that you would, like, kind of look into the context of, like, oh, everything behind this. Because, like, is it that black people get all just, like, super violent and, you know, are just terrible, terrible people? Or is it that, you know, they, a lot of authority figures just suspect them more and therefore, like, go into the places where they are more and maybe arrest them more? That's just a for instance, like an example. Like, I would hope that you just look into everything surrounding that statistic and hopefully come up with more ways, like more beneficial ways to address, you know, your need for to balance your need for safety with, you know, basically black people's need to exist inside America.
Yeah,
I feel like though I personally want to blame both people.
Okay. All right.
There are troublemakers on both sides.
I mean, no, just
both
like
both sides had good people.
Just sorry, like I don't want to say like I don't want to like defend the people who want to be safe.
Well, no, because it's black people want to be safe too. It's like
that is also true.
Like, yeah, I don't know. That's the weird part to me when someone start using statistics and go like, to a white person is be afraid of minorities. And then they pull up statistics, and you're like, yeah, I'll keep you safe. But it's like, at some point, you gotta totally not think of anybody else as human, but the person looks like you. Because, like, why would you not think that?
Yeah, okay.
Black people want to be safe, too. And everybody wants to be safe.
I mean, that's just the danger. We're kind of together. Like, that's just the danger of, like I said, just, like, looking at descriptive statistics, basically. Just this one shot, like, this naked proportion, just... Huh, this group of people does this more than people. And then that's all that you get from that number. They don't, like, I'm sure if you looked into outside sources, you could find more ways to explain, like, why this happens and how it, like, isn't as cut and dry or how it, like, may not just be true. I was just using that as an example. Like that guy, where was that? Was that in, oh, God. I think it was in Pennsylvania, to where the, was he a mayor? I don't remember what this guy was, but he basically said that black people were responsible for like more drug-related crimes than any other group in whatever city he was in. But someone looked at the numbers on it, and statistically, they were just like, oh yeah, black people are responsible for like 14% of all drug-related crimes in this area. You want to know who does, like, all of the other, like, all the other crime? It's mostly white people who do it.
It's black people.
I would hazard another guess that a lot of the black-related things are, like, weed. And the white-related ones are fuck your life up drugs.
Yeah, like, man.
Fuck your life up drugs.
Your teeth fall out, fuck your life up drugs.
Get that hair on.
That makes me think, like, thinking of the voters, is they're ignorant or if they're just responding to safety. Like, that makes me think of the people walking
like
up
the safety
thing.
That was just like a for instance that...
Well, yeah, but I mean it's a for instance, but it's like people walk like the just black people walking up on the white people's porches and then the white folks being like, oh no, I'm gonna get robbed, and then shoot somebody through his screen. Like, it's messed up. At that point, you gotta not be thinking of the other person as a human being and just be like, danger, I'm so afraid of everything.
Jumper cables.
Right?
As they're lying, they're dying.
Don't take me to a black doctor.
God. Yeah, man.
This show makes me sad sometimes, guys.
I don't think we should talk about race for a long time. Yeah. A little bit. Jambalaya.
Reading good comics lately.
And doing sausage and rice and chicken. Maybe sometime shrimp.
There's a shrimp in our icon. specifically drawn out. It looks like a ship.
I mean, I guess I could end it on this. Okay, so... Well, this will be my last point. You guys can have whatever points that you want after this.
I'll have a dull.
Would you like anything on the side with that? But anyway.
Maybe the side of jambalaya.
Oh, yeah. Take the sock again.
Whackity-ish, blackity-do.
Zatarans.
Zatarans. Oh, Aunt Jemima.
I wish I had, like, a head wrap like Aunt Jemima's.
Why? Just because.
Because I'd like to wear it around. I'd probably just wear it around my house.
I'd like to talk to birds like Aunt Jemima. Or is that somebody else?
Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, okay.
That's Aunt Jemima's aunt.
Oh.
Great Aunt Jemima.
Great Aunt Aunt Jemima.
I will end... Well, this will be... Wow, this will be my last point. Damn it. So, most people are familiar with Jonathan Haidt. He's a social psychologist. I forget what school he works for, but he does. He's pretty big and does some pretty good work in the political science community, also obviously in the social psychology community. But I was listening to one of his talks that he gave, and I still don't know how to feel about it. I mean, on one hand, I can see the benefit of it. On the other hand, it just seems just like a complete just, I don't know. Like, he's just asking people to give up, but I'll just tell you his suggestion. He was basically, when he was talking about how people should approach race relations, he started off with saying that, all right, let's just say that, and what I'm about to say is just another for instance, I'm not sure how true it is, but he just used this as an example. He just said, let's just say you live in a city where blue people committed most of the crime, but you think of yourself as a good person, a person who doesn't, you know, obey stereotypes. So you just continue to live your life the best way you can. But let's also just say that in this city, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's in the bad part of town. Most blue people live in this part of town, and you're just walking down the street. And you see two blue people coming toward you. And suddenly you get filled with all this apprehension and fear. Now, the thing is, you just keep walking by them. But you feel like you were a bad person because you just had this stereotype in your head that like made you afraid of these people for no reason. So what Jonathan Haidt suggests is that there is nothing wrong with how you behaved. Here's his justification for that. In that context, you're in a bad neighborhood populated by a group of people that commit most of the crime, which means that the stereotype in your head has a higher probability of being true, probably. So, you acting, you know, afraid in that situation is completely correct. Well, let's just switch it over to another situation where it's, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning, nice part of town, and you see two blue people walking toward you, and you have the exact same reaction. Mm. So, obviously, he said that that's the bad reaction because the context of the situation is that, all right, you see two blue people, but you've just engaged your stereotype incorrectly because the context of the situation doesn't match the stereotype, because the probability that these two blue people are going to like do something to you is really low because they're not in the wrong part of town. It's, you know, the middle of the day. All these factors just lower the chances of you being harmed. But the whole point of this thing is the whole point of what he's trying to say is that you have to find ways to accurately engage your stereotypes is basically what he said. Just be more accurate in your engagement of stereotypes, basically. That's pretty much the whole story, and I have no idea how to feel about that. Just,
I'm gonna be honest, when you were telling that story, all I was thinking about is the Smurfs. And I was thinking
those blue motherfuckers
that the other person who was who was scared of the Smurfs was Gargamel. But then I listened a little deeper. I agree with that, but I think that you should feel kind of guilty. I mean, not guilty enough to like kill yourself or anything, but like guilty enough that you wouldn't go on Facebook and be like, "Oh my god, I just walked by two blue people downtown. I was so scared."
Or
but then they didn't do anything.
Or
fuck them, right?
Feel too guilty to put a post on next door and say, "I saw two black kids walking down the street. I thought they were gonna rob somebody." Which you see often on Nextdoor.
Wait, did that happen?
That happens all the time on fucking Nextdoor.
Wow.
You see it, and then somebody goes, two black kids were walking by. I was so scared.
Wait, is this a real thing? Like, the Nextdoor app? Like,
yeah,
the Nextdoor app?
You can put neighborhood posts out there. That, like, a lot of times you get people to just post, like, I saw a minority.
Whoa.
And you live in Midtown.
Yeah, you know that. Just because you live in a fancy neighborhood, doesn't mean there's not racist people.
That's true. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Fuck me.
That's stereotyping crazy, white people.
That is...
They're all not racist over there. It's a stereotype. I think that's valid, and I think the part that people don't do is evaluate their own stereotypes. It's not saying get rid of them, but think about your stereotype at least.
Yes. Like, once again, like, I'm still contemplating what he just said, where he's basically just said, you need to find more accurate ways to engage your stereotypes.
Right.
Also, when you said,
he
said, like, give up, are you talking about, like, on racial issues? Or
yeah,
talking
like,
about,
just give up on racial
like,
issues.
Like, we're done for the world.
Just like, yeah, just, we're done for the world. Like, this is as good as it's gonna get.
Put on your sweatpants. Crawl back into bed.
Get your jug of Skol vodka.
Stay off your phone or do I don't care. It
doesn't yeah, like, anyway. That's exactly what I was going for. Just, like, maybe just, man, I hear what he's saying, and part of me is just like, yeah, maybe that's as good, maybe that's the best we can ever hope for. Just use your stereotypes in the correct setting. It just seems like you become a more sophisticated racist.
It sounds.
I don't.
Is that better? I don't know. It's
I don't
better.
Know. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Like,
I thought about my decisions and I came to the conclusion I should keep doing exactly what I've been doing this entire time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you always say if you're gonna do something, do it big. So
I have said you're a big racist.
So, I mean, if you're going to be a racist, you should probably commit violent crimes against minorities.
Then we could just throw you away.
I mean,
and
yeah,
forget dude. About you.
No, I mean, I don't think that. I don't think that. But, like, on that spectrum, where do you put people who are just, like, secretly in their head think that they're superior to other races? And, like, people who are like, I'm going to lynch me a black person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they're both. I mean, obviously, they're
yeah.
both bad.
That's the problem. Is it's like if you know they're gonna do it, and you can stop a crime or a murder, and like you can establish they're gonna do it. It's like you can arrest somebody after the fact, but then the harm's already done.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well,
yeah. Woohoo!
I'm depressed.
Woohoo!
Holy shit! Next door.
Yeah, you like. Nobody says the word minorities because somehow it sounds worse. But I say black teenagers.
And we're just going to end it all right there, guys. I'm Kyle.
I'm Cody.
I'm Matt.
And thanks for having a bowl full of jambalaya, guys.
Right, jambalaya.
Go down on the
feet Have it in a bowl, eat it in your hat, eat it in a cup, it all is good.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.